how early on in your band, Jason the Scourgers, did you guys realize you had something, you know, really different?
I think it was immediate. I came to Nashville in July 4th of 1981, and I immediately put together a band. I actually called it Jason and the Nashville Scourgers, but it was none of the original members that became the real band. Did a few shows, knocked around, and then when finally got the four guys that became the band all in the same room, we jammed on a song called Gone, Gone, Gone by Carl Perkins. And the first measure, I knew that it would work. It was just something very explosive and very chemical about it.
Hmm. What aspect of that made you think, wow, this is really something
different? It was
different.
The energy. There was just a chemical energy that that band had. It was immediate, and you couldn't help but see it and notice it.
You and I are both Midwesterners of a sort. You grew up on a farm in Illinois. I worked on a dairy farm in Cashton, Wisconsin in the summers with my brother.
You did? Wow, good for you.
Well,
for
it was,
you. That's
it was,
work.
It's
working
hard
on a dairy farm is work. There's no such thing as getting up at 9:30.
Oh, God.
You're up there at dawn every day.
By the time lunchtime rolled around at 11:30, we were pretty hungry.
No doubt.
But it sounds like you, one of the things that I remember most growing up in La Crosse, Wisconsin, was just, you know, the weekends came and my brother and I were just out the door up in the woods all weekend long. Sounds like you went through a little bit of that too, but yours turned into a new career for you here in a sense.
It has. I've been very fortunate to do a lot of my hobbies has become my career. You know, I've always been a complete outdoors kind of person growing up and all through my adult life as well. And now I'm singing about it to kids and motivating them to get out there and enjoy it as well. I'm very fortunate.
We're talking about the new CD, Nature Jams, and really that is the theme, getting out there and doing it. Why is it so important, and why so important today?
I think it's more important today now than ever because there's so much competition for these kids with the internet and television and 24/7, you know, cable channels geared for children, even to the youngest ages. So to get people outside, get kids outside, it's fundamentally important and much harder than it used to be, I think.
What's the common thread from your perspective as being in it and doing it every day, the common thread in being just a really successful family artist?
Well, I think the emphasis these days is on family. I think that all the artists share a certain philosophy of trying to entertain the whole family at the same time. I think that's a big difference from what it used to be.
Yeah, we rented a, I guess we Netflix streamed one of those, it was a collection of Rocky and Bullwinkle last week, my wife and I, and we watched it with our 7-year-old. It just reminded me of how much fun it was as a kid. I mean, I think some of those jokes went right over my head, but I just remember my parents laughing out loud, and we enjoyed it even more because of it.
Oh, yes. The cartoons of the 60s and 70s definitely had that multidimensionalism to their art.
This album is a huge collaboration effort. I can't remember anything quite like it, with a lot of just fantastic musicians, including yourself there. Some of the musicians, I mean, I got to be honest, they sound like just real naturals doing this. Was there much coaching that went on in order to get some of these artists into the children's music genre?
I think they adapted quite easily. Getting the logistics of it together was really challenging, but once we got into the studio, they pretty much did their thing. You know, I think that they all just enjoyed it and had a good time.
Were you traveling all over the country? Were you doing it via ISDN, or how did they contribute?
Every case was different. In some cases, they would come to the studio where we record most of our stuff. In other cases, we would go to their studio and do, you know, the overdubs and whatnot. In some cases, it was just, you know, we interneted the files to them and they did it. The track with the Saw Doctors, for example, Well Oh Well, was done all electronically. They're from Galway, Ireland. So, you know, even the talking back and forth was all done electronically. I never saw them face to face.
That was a great exchange and a wonderful intro to that tune. What did you pick up, if anything, from some of these artists in terms of delivery or storytelling, musically speaking? We're talking about, you know, folks like Iris DeMint, Victor Wooten, Tom Peterson, Cheap Trick. Anything rub off on you in this project?
Oh, sure. You know, just being around people like that, you're going to learn something and pick up something, you know, if you have any antenna at all.
How about an example?
I think with Tom, it really struck upon me how, even though, you know, the guy sold how many million records, you know, and Cheap Trick is one of the greatest bands of all time, how down-to-earth he was and how that impressed everybody around him, the easy way he dealt with things and the easy way he recorded and the fun he had doing it. I think everyone around him, myself included, really noticed that, and that made a big impression on us.
Yeah, it was quite a shift. The last time I heard him was live at Budokan, and that CD had, you know, 50,000 screaming fans, and I Want You to Want Me. What a shift, and he just seemed like a total natural in this setting as well.
He was, especially when we did the little introduction. I think he's really endearing.
Starting off with Can You Canoe, it's a perfect blend. After Deliverance and, you know, the famous bumper sticker, it seems like that banjo canoe together really works, and some great picking.
Yeah, Allison is, you know, she's a banjo genius, and I just couldn't resist saying those little one-liners. I just couldn't, you know. Keep paddling, Allison.
I want to just roll through some more of these, because Take a Hike, and I guess I should say as an umbrella for all these tunes, great production, so much involved in it, but just love the guitar opening in this great tune.
Yeah, well, actually, Warner Hodges from the Scorchers played that guitar part.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, that's right.
What a fantastic guitarist.
He is.
Yeah, amazing, amazing sound and just the energy.
He's so special.
You know, the way this opens, as some of these do, I mean, it's disorienting in a good sort of way. I'm almost all set for a great top 10 hit right off the charts here.
Well, I won't argue with you if that happens, David. That's for sure.
And Bayou Boogie was one of my personal favorites, I got to say. Nice, relaxed feel. What a great voice. Terrence Simeon, and I love what he says, allons, let's go, getting into the tune.
Yeah, Terrence and me had a big time. It was just pure fun. It was pure joy. We never met, but, you know, we just sometimes people just get on, you know, and we just got on, and like we were old friends, went out afterwards and had some Creole food and some shrimp jambalaya and all that. You know, it was fantastic.
Another one of my favorites, Iris DeMint on a track here. And, boy, she sounds like she's done this sort of work before. What a nice introduction. And the tune's a real journey. Lots of styles.
Yeah, she's, you know, Iris is one of the finest singers of our generation in the Americana world, without a doubt. And, yeah, she nailed it.
You guys have a great vocal harmony throughout that, too, I got to say. Really nice blending of colors again.
Yeah, she's a good harmony singer. I mean, it was, she did the harmony part, and, you know, it's a deceptively difficult harmony part for her to do on that one. She did an excellent job.
And a little storytelling coming up next with Buffalo or Bison and Webb Wilder, and hilarious, a real poetic ode to Buffalo or Bison.
Yeah, Webb just did that on the spot. I said, man, it'd really be cool to have you just kind of go off on one of your Webb, you know, rants, which he does. And, you know, he called me back 15 minutes later with it all done.
Oh, that's amazing.
He just went for it and did it. It's really cool. I love it.
And a catchy tune. I'd have to say, Jason, maybe too catchy. Talking about Dyson the Bison galloping so fast, although he weighs a ton.
Yep. That's a trick, to gallop fast when you weigh a ton. That's a talent for those buffalo.
I'm a huge Victor Wooten fan, and you all have collaborated in the past. What a funky intro. No place like the woods. And a great interest to some wonderful storytelling.
Yeah, Victor's he's a great talent. There's no question about that. And, you know, we're actually friends. Our families are friends. So it was a fun thing to do with Victor and his kids.
The Moose Lives Where with Todd Snyder and Joe Nesbo and Take 13, a hilarious look back and forth between you and Todd. I can hear the smile in your voice in that one.
Well, with Todd, I definitely didn't and never script that one. You just get in there and see what happens. With Todd Snyder, it's just, you know, stuff just happens around him, and that was one of those things that just happened. He was brilliant. That's the third appearance he's made on a Farmer Jason record, and it's an ongoing story of Todd Snyder and his moose. And kids are really, really concerned about Todd. I mean, I get kids all the time asking, has Todd found his pet moose, you know, his lost pet moose? And so finally we found the pet moose in this last song, and he's going to set the moose free, as it should be.
Well, you go from that hilarious tune to, it really sounds like a country classic right off the bat there with Brandi Carlile and Have You Ever.
Yeah, Brandi, you know, I'm a big fan of hers, and I've met her once or twice on the road, and my kids are fans, and it was a big honor to get her on the record. Brandi Carlile has dropped dead something special. She's, you know, she is really one of the finest singers of her generation and a great songwriter.
Yeah, the colors in her voice are just spectacular.
It is something, isn't it?
Unreal.
Yeah.
And then you ended up with track 16, a real anthem, Goodbye, Skating Along there with the trio there, Christy Rose, Addie, and Camille Ringenberg. So you've got your kids on the album.
I did, yeah, two of my daughters. And that's always fun, you know. I have a great gig, David, to be able to bring my own children on a record. That's pretty cool stuff.
That's great. So coming to Winston-Salem and putting on this show, what can we expect? Put us in that auditorium for a minute, Jason. And could you describe the scene?
The Farmer Jason shows are really spontaneous because it's just me. There's no, it's like no backing tracks, no band or anything like that. So it's just me and the kids. So you never quite know exactly what's going to happen and how things are going to work. But it's always very spontaneous and very, very interactive with the audience. And, you know, the kids get involved with it, dance and sing and whatnot and participate. It's, you know, you get that many kids in one place. Man, it's a hoot.
You got to really be a certain type of personality to actually like and thrive in improv in that sort of setting, I imagine.
Yes, it's an interesting sort of line that you have to walk, because you have to sort of stay a little bit in control of it, but at the same time you have to let things happen. So it's a line you have to walk, and it is a challenge. It's much easier singing for a band, and you know, like with Jason the Scorchers, than it is being Farmer Jason. With Farmer Jason, the concentration has to be complete every second of the show. Every second, you can never let down your level of focus. You know, like you know, in a rock band situation, you know, you play a guitar solo on or go for it. You go off stage and have a drink or whatever, you know. But drink of water, I mean.
Of course.
But with Farmer Jason, if you let off even for a second, you're tuning your guitar or something, the kids will just lose interest.
Yeah.
So you have to always be on, always, every second.
I used to teach tennis to 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds in Austin, Texas, and it'd be 100 degrees out there. There'd be 8 kids in the court, and I remember my takeaway from that is they don't care if you had a bad day the day before or that day. You've got to be on the whole time, or you're going to lose them fast.
That is absolutely the truth. You're right.
Great. Well, Jason, anything I didn't ask about that you'd like to mention coming up on this concert? I'll be posting links to your website, the CD, and giving the demographic stuff and when the concert is and stuff in the intro and outro.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. Well, be sure to send us the do you podcast it or anything like that, or have it on the website?
Yeah, both. It'll be on our website.
Be sure to send us that. If you don't mind, you know, I would like to say that the record is out on MyKazoo/Universal Records. It's a brand new record company, and they're trying to bring music to kids. They're a label devoted completely to family music, so I want to give them a plug here.
Sure.
But other than that, I think it was a great interview. It's a real pleasure talking about the songs, and specifically like that. I really had a good time doing that.
Great. Well, I did too, Jason. I really appreciate you taking time out to talk with me today.
All right. Well, you have a great rest of the day, David, and a big high five to your 7-year-old son as well.
We'll be there.
Okay, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.